Again, Hebrews 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. That's a double negative in there. That means Jesus knows exactly what we're going through. He knows exactly what your emotions are, what your feelings are. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Feelings are natural. It is part of the makeup of an individual. Some people express more feelings than others. There's absolutely nothing wrong with feelings. However, when a person or nation forsakes God and leaves God, they always follow their feelings instead of truth. God's word is truth, the Bible says. Jesus is truth, he said. When a people become as sinful as Americans, they care more about their feelings than they care about Jesus and the word of God. They follow their feelings instead of obeying the word of God. Every time a person follows their feelings, their gut, their intuition, it is usually not good, ladies and gentlemen. It is usually not right. When a person makes a decision based on facts and truth and knowledge, it is usually right. God said in Hosea 4:8, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ through the Holy Spirit, through the scriptures. The more you learn about a subject or a topic, the more informed you will be to make a wiser decision than you would have been if you did not possess that knowledge. I personally believe our society shifted away from facts, knowledge, and truth to feelings over a span of some 40, 50 years from the Great Depression, 1929, to the 60s and 70s, the rebellious revolution against God Almighty and that which was right. And from then on, for the last 40 years now, it's been a nation that has been led by feelings instead of facts, knowledge, and truth, especially the truth, the Word of God, the King James Version. All you have to do is look at government schools before 1960, when the King James Bible was in the government schools. Since 1789, the King James Bible was in the public government schools. That's a long track record. Our country produced the brightest, the most intelligent, the richest, and best inventors any new nation has ever produced in a matter of 150 years from its birth. Our country was a shining star on a hill that millions of foreigners strive to come to for its wealth, its opportunities, its freedoms, and the individual liberty that was provided like nowhere else on planet Earth. But look at government schools since 1960. It is a no-brainer. Any honest look at the history and track record of before and after 1960 brings someone to only one conclusion. The government schools were much better off before 1960 with prayer and the King James Bible than all the trillions and trillions of taxpayers' wasted money that has been spent to pay fat cat bureaucrats, administrators, principals, vice principals, so-called guidance counselors, abortion-promoting nurses, and ungodly teachers that are unthankful and ungrateful that allow these children to be housed in a riot-controlled environment with bars on windows, locks on the doors, metal detectors at the entrances, and police officers roaming the grounds and halls of state-run government indoctrination centers that teach the children that the government is their God and the taxpayers are their source for funding all their lusts and wants and desires and wishes to feel good about themselves. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 17, please. I want you to see this with your God-given eyeball. Jeremiah 17. You need to read what God says. I'm going to talk to you about, there's nothing wrong with feelings. But when you base your life on feelings, your life will be destroyed, I'm telling you. Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what the Bible says. Look at Proverbs 28, please. Proverbs chapter 28. When you are led by your feelings, you will be led astray. The devil knows how to lead people astray by their feelings. Proverbs 28, verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So if you go by facts, by knowledge, by truth, you'll be all right. If you go by your feelings, you are going to have a messed up life, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing wrong with feelings. That's what separates us from animals who live by instinct and have to be taught by people to act like people and mimic people. Animals have to be trained, but so do people. Children are no longer trained to be right and do right, thus they act like animals. Nowadays, some domesticated animals are better trained than people are. That's sad. People take their dogs to training classes, but they don't teach their children what's right. They care more about their dogs than they do about their children. We had a couple beagles when my kids were younger, and both of them, by the way, were not allowed to eat food from the dish bowl until we prayed. I'd pour the food into the bowl. My kids will tell you that. I'd pour the, and they, you know how nervous beagles are? You know how they just can't wait? You know how they just go after rabbits? I love beagles. I really do. But they just can't wait. They're not very patient dogs. They're ready to go, man. You ever see them in a cage? You're ready to get out and run? I taught my beagle that he was not allowed, she or he, can't remember right now, I think one female, one male, was not allowed, they were not allowed to eat until we all sat down at the dinner table, around the dining room table, and the bowl was on the floor, and the dog was sitting there. He would sit there and not eat. And here's what we do. I say, let's pray. He would take his paws, put his head down prostrate on the floor, and cover his nose with his paws until he heard the famous magical words, amen. Then he'd go after his food. You can't even bow your head in public and ask God to bless your food. You're too embarrassed to say a prayer to God who gave you the breath to breathe and the food to eat. And you can't even thank God in public. My dogs are better Christians than you are. They weren't even saved. We're too embarrassed to bow our heads. We're untrained people. We're worse than animals. Today, people serve their bellies. Their belly is their God, the Bible says. All you have to do is be honest with God. You know that there are too many examples of when you said something you should not have said, but you said it because you felt like it. You went into a rage, and you couldn't control your emotion because, you know, you felt like it. So, you know, I'm talking about men and women today. You know, I know women are more emotional creatures, you know, and they let their feelings show more than men. But we live in a day and age that most men today act like a bunch of women. They're not that they maybe cry, but they show it through their rage or anger. They throw things and stomp things. And they yell when they have no need to. They're acting like a bunch of babies. That's immaturity. That's being led by your feelings. Let me tell you something. I said this Wednesday night. I'm glad that we have, you say, I'm afraid because the nuclear codes are at the fingertips of a man who can't control his Twitter fingers. I'd rather have a man like that than allow the nuclear codes to be at the fingertips of a woman who's going through a cycle once a month or menopause or is just deranged and is a Jezebel. Huh? Are you listening to me? And you want a woman president? That's why the Bible is very clear. A woman shouldn't be a pastor. She shouldn't be in control in a leadership because her emotions get the best of her. Her feelings get the best of her. My Bible says in Obadiah 1, verse number 3, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. You better be careful that your heart doesn't deceive you. What you should have done is make sure you know what God said in the Word of God, then obey what God says instead of your feelings. Your feelings change like the wind and the waves of the sea, and you're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. But if you have an anchor to your soul, which is the Word of God, then your ship will not be tossed to and fro by the wind. It will stay put because you are anchored to truth that never changes. Winds always change. Feelings always change. Emotions always change. But God never changes. He said, I change not. The Word of God changes. By the way, the King James Bible hasn't changed, ladies and gentlemen. It's the same book. While the world changes and the scholars and theologians have changed, they want to change God and change the Word of God. But you can't change God. You just can't change the Word of God. You just come up with a different religious book is what you've done. Because their emotions get the best of them. Their feelings get the best of them. You should not listen to these fake, phony, fraud religious leaders who think that God's Word can be changed from the King James Bible to all these other perversions that follow Catholic manuscripts from Alexandria, Egypt. Don't be deceived and fooled by their smiling, smug smirks as they grin to try to win you over by your feelings. Oh, I feel so good when I'm around them. I remember I brought my wife, we were not married at the time, brought my wife to church where I was going, Brother McIntyre, Pastor McIntyre, he was preaching, and she came down, she met Gene Johnson, who was in charge of the mission in Jacksonville, North Carolina, trying to win souls. And these are men, you know, white hair, you know, they're in their 70s or 80s, and they hunch over, they just look you square in the eye like they scare the devil out of you, man. They didn't have this winsome personality. And the first thing my wife says, I'm afraid of him. I said, that's good. That's good. That's good. Now, if the pastor isn't a jokester, if he doesn't tell you jokes to make you laugh and feel comfortable, he must not be good for you because he doesn't jive with your feelings. You don't care what he says about the Word of God or what God says in the Bible about truth. We care more about our feelings. And thus, our lives are messed up because we've been going by our feelings. That's why people can't stay in the same relationship long. That's why they can't stay at the same job long. They can't stay at the same place long. Everybody moves every 6, 12 months. Everybody has a new job every 6, 12 months. Everybody has a new wife or a husband, new boyfriend, new girlfriend every 6 or 12 months. You know why? Because you go by your feelings. When's the last time you heard somebody staying in the same job for over 20 years? When's the last time you heard somebody being faithful to their wife, to their husband for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Huh? When's the last time you heard somebody say, in the same church for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Now, well, I don't like what he says, so I'm going to go to another church. You'll be there for 6 or 12 months, 2 years. 2 years tops, don't worry about it. You won't like something over there, and then you'll leave over there because your feelings are what matter instead of what truth is. If it was truth 100 years ago, it's still right today. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. What you need is truth. What you need is knowledge. If it was right in truth 1,000 years ago, it's still right today. He said, people have changed, pastor. Society's changed. That's right, but God hasn't changed. And look how wicked and evil this generation is, especially the last 50 years in America. We've rebelled against God. We've rejected God. Look at how our marriages are turning out. They're crumbling. How families have been torn apart. Look how selfish and angry and uncontrollable men are today with their emotions and their feelings. They didn't get their way like a little baby that didn't get their toy. Look how many people are addicted to their drugs and liquor and alcohol and pornography and gambling and charging credit cards during the Christmas season. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. You can't control yourself. Oh, I got to have this. I got to have this. I want this. I want that. So you charge and charge and charge and charge. Then the bills come in. So, oh, what am I going to do? Well, you were led by your feelings. You're led by your feelings. Your emotions took control of you. And you succumbed to that. Years ago, I preached a sermon on faith. I think it was faith. I used the illustration. I can't remember the name right now. But true story. Some airplane pilot was in a cockpit, and he thought he was doing right. I'm sorry. He thought he was upside down because he was in turbulence, and he couldn't tell where he was at. And it was all foggy or cloudy. I can't remember the exact story right now, but his mind went back to class. And the class taught him, the instructor taught him, forget your feelings, read the instrument panels. Read the digital, the readings on your instrument panel. And go by them, don't go by your feelings. And he says, it's a good thing I did, because I would have crashed that plane. He said, I went against my feelings when I thought it was complete opposite. But I read the dials, I read the output from the instrument panel, and I did exactly what the instrument panel told me I should do. Hey, you know what? You go by this book. I promise you, all things work together for good to them that love God. I promise you. But when you go by your feelings, contrary to the Word of God, you're looking for a messed up result. And how many of us can attest we've messed up because we didn't go by God's Word? Can I get an amen? Amen? Can I get a witness? Huh? How many times we messed up? Because we didn't obey God. We went by our feelings instead of God. Oh, I love him. Oh, I love her. You don't even know what love is. You're going by your emotion. You're by your feelings, by an outward appearance. Oh, he's so strong. Oh, she has such a beautiful smile. And that's what hooked you, huh? Your feelings. The Bible has the definition of faith in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You better find out what God says in the Bible. You better live by faith. Romans 1, 7 says we ought to live by faith. Hebrews 10, 38 says we ought to live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says we ought to walk by faith. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 10, please. Romans chapter number 10. The opposite of feeling is faith. Obeying God by faith. I'm talking about feelings this morning that have destroyed too many marriages, families, churches, and individuals and nations. You know why a person commits suicide? You listen to me good. Because of their feelings. Number one, they're depressed. That's a feeling. They're discouraged. That's a feeling. They messed up. They feel guilty. That's a feeling. So you make life-changing, life-altering decisions based on a feeling instead of what God says. Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 17. The opposite of feelings is faith. Faith in God, faith in the Word of God. Romans 10, verse number 17. So then faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. So if you want faith to overcome your feelings, you know what you need? You need the Word of God. You need to read it, and read it. When you're done reading it, read it again. When you're done reading it the second time, read it a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. I can't tell you how many times I've read the Bible through. I'm just telling you. I mean, the book of Psalms and Proverbs, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I probably have read them probably somewhere between 400, 500, 600 times, to be honest. I've lost count. New Testament, hundreds of times I've read the New Testament through. I'm just telling you. I can't even count. There will be nothing on planet Earth that will stop John Cleese. Well, you're boasting. He said, well, Lord willing. No, I'm not telling you. God will have to kill me, disable me to stop me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. He said, well, Lord willing. No, God is willing for you to live right. God wants you to live right. And by God's grace, I will. But too many people are living their lives by feelings that destroy them. Then they feel guilty. Then they feel dis. You know, the Bible says, I don't know if we're going to turn to it or not. Take a Bible, please. Turn to, you need to read this. Turn to Genesis chapter number 37. You need to read this. I was going to read it, but let's read it. Genesis 37. God's people of old have always been blessed of God and always triumphed when they obeyed God, and God brought them through the difficulty because of their faith in God's word. That's simple. The same God who brought Moses and the Israelites across the Red Sea would be the same God to bring you through heartaches and difficulties. The same God who brought the three Hebrew boys through the fiery furnace will be the same God that you put your faith in, ladies and gentlemen. The same God. The same God that made the walls of Jericho fall down flat will be the same God that will make the walls of your enemies fall down flat, ladies and gentlemen. You won't have to do anything except believe God. You try to play God because you don't have faith in God. Genesis chapter number 37. Remember when the brothers decided to kill Joseph, then they changed their mind? And they said, well, let's just sell him as a slave. They took his coat of many colors. They shed an animal's blood over it to make it look like some animal had killed Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, starting in verse number 33. We'll pick up the story. And they brought it to their father. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph, watch this, is without doubt rent in pieces. But he was alive. They lied to him. Joseph's brothers lied to Israel. They lied to him. But Israel believed the lie. And he said, no doubt, there's no doubt, this is my son's coat, he's dead. Verse 34, and Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. Watch this. But he refused to be comforted. He wasn't dead, but in his mind, he thought he was dead. And his feelings were so strong that he refused to be comforted. The same thing is found in Jeremiah 31, 15. Same thing is found in Matthew 2, verse 17 and 18. Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. Same thing in Psalm 77. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Some people are just out of control. They don't. You know why people take drugs? Because it feels good. You know why people get drunk? Because it feels good. You know why people gamble? Because it feels good. You know why people watch pornography? Because it feels good. You know why people do the vices that they do, the sinful things that they do? Because it feels good. Yeah. And then there's a price to pay for it. Instead of going by God's word and staying away from sin and obeying God and living a life that's blessed of God. Blessed be God, this January will mark 35 years I've been married. Amen. It's been a blessed time for me. I pray for my wife. Amen. Pray for her, man. Having to live with me for 35 years. 35 years. Heartaches, burdens, trials, disappointments, discouragements. Funerals, heartaches. You know, you don't stay together for 35 years because you feel like it sometimes. I remember reading the story one time. Johnny didn't want to go to church one day. He was sitting in bed. His mama came in and said, Johnny, it's time for church. And mama, I don't want to go to church this morning. He says, you got to go to church. It's getting late. It's 30 minutes before church starts. And Johnny rolled over in his covers, say, I don't want to go to church. And the mama says, you got to go to church. And he says, give me one good reason why you got to go to church. She said, because you're the pastor. You don't go to the same church 30 years and always feel like going, ladies and gentlemen. But Hebrews 10:25 says you ought to go and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. When funds are tight and low, you don't feel like tithing all the time. Don't tell me. But you do it because you obey God. You don't witness to somebody because you don't feel like witnessing. The fear of man bringeth a snare. You're afraid what to say. You're gonna stutter. You might say the wrong thing. What are they going to think of me? Those are feelings that get built up in you, conjure up thoughts. Oh, what are they going to say? What are they going to think? Those are feelings that you're going by. And thus, we don't witness. We don't come. We don't give. We don't go. We don't pray. Why don't you pray? I don't feel like praying. Why don't you read your Bible? I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like reading my Bible. I don't feel like it. So when you're led by your feelings, well, I'll do it when I feel like it. You'll never feel like it to do something that's right. Man looks on the outward appearance. Still today. So people today are jealous and envious. They go by their gut reaction. They're anxious. It's all about their emotional well-being. And it affects your health. And it affects your relationship with others. Joy and peace only come from duty, sacrifice, and giving, ladies and gentlemen, obeying God. Once you accomplish a goal, and you finish a goal, and the desire is met, it's sweet to the soul, the Bible says in Proverbs. And sometimes it's a tough thing to meet those goals. And it's a tough thing to follow God and to obey God because of the consequences that come with it. But at the end, you're going to say, thank God I did. Thank God I did. Thank God I did. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Take your Bible, turn there, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Might as well read some of this. Nothing wrong with feelings, but just don't be led by them. Truth of the matter is, one of the reasons we're not having a revival in America today is because men are too stubborn. They're too cold-hearted. They don't want to weep in front of other people because people might think that you're weak if you weep, you know? So that's just for women. The Bible says that Jesus wept in the book of John. I mean, your God wept for souls. He had compassion on souls because they were like a flock that fainted, the Bible says. And he had compassion on them. We don't have compassion on other people because, you know what? We want people to think I'm strong. I don't give in. I don't care. Well, you better care because God cares and Jesus cares. I remember some bro Ohio saying at a pastor school one time, he was preaching at a church somewhere, and some guy got up to sing a solo, and boy, that guy belted out a beautiful song, and he sat down, and the pastor was sitting next to Bro Hiles, and he said, boy, wasn't that a great song? Isn't he a good singer? And he said, yeah, he sure is, and as soon as God breaks his heart, God will use him. Yeah, everybody likes to sing with pride in their heart, you know? Yeah, like the Hollywood stars, like a rock star, you know, you want to sing, like they exaggerate. You can't sing according to the notes that a godly person wrote 100, 200 years ago. You got to spice it up to get your emotions and your feelings going. Most of those people don't live for God, most of them, because they're led by feelings. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, Ziklag is burned by the Amalekites. In verse number 4, then David, verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with weeping. You know what's that? That's right. You fellas, you'll cry when your mom or your dad die. You'll cry when your son or your daughter dies. You'll cry when your brother or your sister dies. But that's a selfish reason to cry because they're so close to you. You couldn't cry for somebody who's dying on their way to hell. You don't cry for the people who are lost on their way to hell right now. We cry a selfish prayer, selfishly. We weep selfishly. Verse 5, and David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Why? Watch this. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. But here's what the man of God did. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I don't care if everything is going against you. You can encourage yourself in the word of God. Your faith. The disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith. You know what Jesus said through the apostle Paul in Romans 10:17? Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? Then read the Bible. As a matter of fact, it's better to listen to the Bible than even read it. Some people are past feeling in Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 19. They don't care. They're seared consciences. They really don't care about people. Paul said in Acts 26:2, I think myself happy. Hey, you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be glad. Hey, are you saved? Are you born again? Are you a child of God? Are you on your way to heaven? Huh? I should have announced this morning and during the announcements. Let me tell you something. We've been here for 30 years. We've never canceled a church service for snow, ice, thunderstorm, hurricane, tornado, hailstorms, or when your mother-in-law comes. All right? We've never canceled Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So if it ever comes to your thinking that, well, maybe there's not going to be church today because there's snow outside, or it's snowing right now, or there's a blizzard outside, somebody will be here, amen? I cannot promise that we'll always pick you up because the church van may not be running, the bus may not be running, but somebody will be here because we've never canceled a service. Not yet. But people go by their feelings. They're afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear, the Bible says. If you have perfect love, a mature love, you're not afraid. If you die, you're going to go to heaven. So if somebody kills you, you're going to go to heaven. Paul said, I think myself happy. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You better watch your heart. You better guard your heart. You're going to love the wrong person. You're going to love the wrong things. You listen to me good. Yeah, we all love people, but you have so many people become too intimate with somebody who they have no business becoming intimate with. Some people love things they have no business loving, and it destroys your life. Yeah, most men love their hunting and their fishing and their guns more than they love Jesus, amen? That's right. Yeah, you like your hobbies, your vacations, your pleasures more than you love Jesus. You love your money and your work more than you love Jesus. Yeah, buddy. The Bible says the spirit of man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Proverbs 18:14. A wounded spirit, who can bear? Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. I understand. I've been there. Believe me. Talk to me after the service and find. Let's match up to see who's been through worse, okay? Let's match them up after the service. And I'm not minimizing it. But when you allow the devil to use your feelings, they're going to destroy you. My Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. My Bible says that we ought to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep in Romans chapter number 12. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things have I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hey, heartache. Hey, burden. Hey, grief. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. One breath, you're one breath away from being with Jesus, amen? Huh? This country's about to be destroyed and overtaken by the left-wing socialists who hate God. But I got news for you, I'm one breath from seeing Jesus, amen? There is nothing that you can do. There's nobody they can put in the White House. There's nothing that Congress can do. There's nothing that the judges in the Supreme Court can do. There's nothing that can ruin my relationship with Jesus Christ. Absolutely nothing. Now, they can hinder my physical walk and hinder my finances and hinder my house and my car and my goings about, but they can't hinder my tongue unless they cut it out, ladies and gentlemen. They can't hinder my preaching and my teaching unless they have a jail cell ready for me. We're so intimidated because of our feelings. My Bible says in Philippians 4, be careful for nothing. My Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Hey, I don't care what temptation you're facing. I don't care what struggle you're facing. God has the answer for every problem. It's in the Word of God. There is an answer for every problem under heaven facing you in the Word of God. Our problem is we don't go to God. We don't read the Word of God. We listen to Dear Abby. Yeah. We follow the horoscope. We will follow the palm readers, the tea leaves. You know, we ask a neighbor who doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe the Bible. We ask, you know, 14-year-old kid, ask another 14-year-old kid about what they think life is all about, you know. Then we wonder why we have problems. Colossians 3 says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That's how you have the peace of God. You can't get a prescription for joy and peace. It comes from the King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Jesus said in Matthew 10, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hey, if you fear God, you won't have to fear any man. The reason you fear people is because you don't fear God. Ephesians 4:26 says, be angry and sin not. There's a time to be angry. Hey, Jesus went into the temple and threw out the money changers, overturned the tables and the chairs. There's a time to be angry. Some people are always angry over the littlest, stupidest things. There's a time to be angry. There ought to be an emotion. You ought to have a feeling about anger sometimes. Jesus was angry. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 10, then Jesus behold him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. In Mark chapter number 3, verse 5, the Bible says, and when he, Jesus, had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Yeah, Jesus is brokenhearted for the people who are dying and going to hell, and he's angry at those of us who have hard hearts, not wanting to reach them with the gospel. You think God's angry at sinners on their way to hell. That's what you think. Yeah, some people may have crossed the line. The abortion crowd, the sodomites, the atheists, So here's, in your mind, you think God is angry at the lost. I got scriptures this morning that says God is angry at his disciples for having hard hearts. While he had compassion for the lost. You better get your emotions right. You better get your feelings right. You're angry at the wrong people. Yeah. You're loving the devil's crowd instead of loving God and his crowd. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about it? No, the question is, what are you going to do as a result of it? What are you going to do, not how do you feel about it? Everybody today on television and radio want, tell us how you feel about it. Tell us your feelings. When a person focuses on their emotions or feelings and tries to cope with their feelings as a center of their attention, they lose focus of truth and reality. That's why people drink liquor, alcohol, booze, wine, so they can forget about the realities of the sobering facts of life that are unpleasant to them. That is why people get away on vacation and pleasure trips or go shopping. They go out partying and dancing, go to rock concerts. They want a safe place. You know, the snowflakes, they want a safe place where they can avoid the difficulties of life that they do not know how to deal with maturely. Have you ever talked to someone and asked them a pointed question? Where are you going to go when you die? Pay attention very carefully how they answer. Just look at them. Just stand there, be polite, and look them in the eye and say, where are you going to go when you die? And watch them stutter. Now, if they're saved, they ought to be glad that they're saved. They all say, yeah, I'm born again. I ask Jesus to save my soul. But listen, if they're lost, I don't care if they're Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, I don't care who they are. Just look at them and see how they stutter and grimace, and they're awkward because they don't know where they're going to go when they die. They don't know how to answer because they don't have any truth. And what they'll say, well, I'm not that bad, am I? I mean, I go to church. I'm a good person. I've been baptized. I haven't killed anybody. Those are feelings you're basing your eternal destiny on instead of facts and truth of the Word of God. Are you born again? Have you asked Jesus to save your soul? That's the question. That lady asked me that question, man. She shocked the daylights out of me, man. She sobered me up. I wasn't that bad. I was happy-go-lucky, the life of the party all the time. All right, so I sinned here a little bit. You know, drank some liquor here, alcohol here, gambled a little bit here, a little white lies here. Who cares? Everybody lies. You know what I'm talking about. Because I was going by my feelings. These people try to avoid the question and try to go on a different topic. Well, you know what? Everybody's a pretty good, you know. God's merciful. I made my peace with God. Ask him for Bible verses for those feelings. Try to bring the subject around to something else because they feel very uncomfortable because they have no truth. They will parrot all phrases like a parrot does. How's your feelings today? Are they in charge of you? You ought to fuel your faith with your emotions, with your feelings. I don't know how I just don't know how a pastor who is called of God, a preacher, cannot preach. The Bible says, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Cry aloud, spare not. Said, pastor, you're just too loud. You're too emotional, pastor. Well, I'm using my feelings to promote truth, ladies and gentlemen, instead of you following your feelings with no truth at all. Here's what you want. You want somebody who says, dearly beloved, he wants a smile, you know, no shave, no beard, shave it all off, you know, and just have the pearly whites, Jimmy Carter smile, and, you know, just smile and make you feel so at home. And God loves everybody. And no matter what you do, God's going to receive you. And let's all just get along and hold hands together. Let's all sing Kumbaya. And let's everybody together now. Let's go. And the country's on its way to hell as a direct result of that. For the last 50 years, we've gotten rid of King James Bible. We've gotten away from Baptist preaching. Now we have these churches that are all led by feelings. Hebrews chapter number 4. Let's close. Hebrews chapter number 4. Dr. Spock writes a book, Not to Spank Children. Hey, how's the last 50 years turned out reading his book, America? Huh? Thank God our parents spanked us, man, when we needed it. They just didn't spank us enough, to be honest with you. Hebrews chapter number 4. Verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus knows exactly what you're going through, because the Bible says he was tempted in all manner. Tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That means he didn't give in to his emotions. You remember at the garden he prayed, not my will, but thy will be done. He said, let this cup pass from me, but thy will be done. Hey, there may be some things you don't like and I don't like, but you ought to say, God, if this is what you want, then that's what I really want. I may not like what's happening. I may not like what's going to happen, but dear God, I want thy will, not my will, to be done. Because God knows what's best 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, that you and I cannot see. Verse number 16. Let us therefore, because of this, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so knowing that we have this trial that we're going through, this burden that we're going through, this heartache, this grief, and knowing that Jesus was tempted just like we are. He didn't sin. We give in. He says, let us go boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And God will give you that grace and that strength to say no to temptation and say, you know what? I thank God I'm saved. My marriage may have fallen apart. My children may have gone to the devil. My parents may not have been saved. But you know what? I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I'm going to try to reach somebody else with the gospel. Amen. Maybe the doctor gave me bad news this week. Maybe I don't have long to live. But you know what? I'm going to see Jesus when I die. I'm going to try to tell somebody else about Jesus. Amen. Hey, I don't care what you're going through right now. Do not allow your feelings to dictate, because you're going to make some irrational decisions that you're going to regret 5, 10, 20 years later. You go by what God says in the Word of God. Even if they go contrary to your feelings, you're going to thank God one day that you went by faith, you walked by faith, and you lived by faith. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I do thank you, dear God, for being a wonderful God. And Lord, as we read just now in Hebrews, Lord, the Bible says that you are tempted in all manner like we are, yet without sin. You know exactly what we're going through, what we've been through, what we're going to go through. And yet, we still go by our feelings and don't go to the Bible, don't go to prayer closet to ask for grace and strength to help us and wisdom. We go by our gut reaction, our instincts, what our neighbor says, our so-called best friends, who don't believe the Bible, don't believe the Word of God. Dear God, help us to live by faith and walk by faith that'll overcome the feelings that we have. And we ought to have feelings. We ought to use those feelings to further truth, to further knowledge. We ought to have a zeal for thy house. We ought to have a zeal to win souls. We ought to have a zeal to do that which is right. But too many times we're zealous, but not according to truth, not according to righteousness, not according to the law. Dear God, please give us wisdom. Bless these dear folks, please. Bless this invitation. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved today, may they trust you to be their Savior. If anybody's not baptized by immersion in a Baptist church, I pray they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Whatever the need is, dear God, may you meet it, please. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. Whatever your need is, you come and do business with God.